getting to be that time of year. Yeah.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, and all over this great state of Michigan. We got friends in Lansing at WJIM, and Bob up by our alma mater at Ferris, WBRN, picks us up for the all over northern Michigan. So headed up there in a couple weeks for homecoming. We'll talk about that in another show, but going to be doing some cooking for my fraternity brothers in a little tailgate, so that'll be fun. But back to the hunting. This is the time of year when everybody gets out, gets the dog running, blows the summer dust off, work them a few times to get them in shape before the Michigan pheasant season starts in October, the mid-October, late October, the 20th of October. But there's lots of farms that you can go to that are pen-raised birds. You put them out, and then you hunt them. A great way to tune up the dog after a long summer. So there are going to be guys, as soon as the weather breaks, you can't really run the dog in 80-degree weather. They're not going to last. It's like you and me, you're hot and you get tired quicker. So when the weather breaks finally and you got 50, 60 days.
What's that season?
What?
Pheasant.
October 20th to November 10th.
Oh, so there's
in
a ways
Michigan.
Yet.
Okay. Yeah, it's a ways. But like I said, the farm stuff is going on right now. Guys will get out early in the morning when it's still 50, and you hunt for 2 or 3 hours. It gets much above 70. You don't want to be out there walking in the brush with all the clothes on, and the dog is going to get shot quick. Not deadly shot, but I mean just worn out.
Not like right. Dick Cheney shot.
Right, yeah. He's going to get worn out. But working the dogs during the week and on the weekends is very popular right now. So you're going to get birds, right? And a pheasant is a bird that runs most of its life. It flies sometimes, but it's on the ground most of the time, kind of like a turkey. They can fly, but the leg muscles and the thigh muscles are tough because they're used all the time to support the bird, and it runs around. It eats on the ground, doesn't eat on the tree, mm-hmm. right? So it's foraging all the time.
So when you did one, you did a bunch of them when we first started doing the show, and you had a technique that was fantastic. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so again, because they're tough, you there's not any fat on them because they're a bird that uses their muscles, right? And they forage, so it's not like a pen-raised anything that gets overfed.
But the breast isn't really tough.
No, it's not tough, but it's dry because there's no fat on it.
So what did you do?
So I brine them. Okay, and what brining does is very simply it drives moisture into the bird.
With salt and sugar.
Yeah, right. And so, here's the one I use that I think you liked, is this was for 10 birds. So you could scale it down or scale it up.
Yeah, that's the one.
Right, but it's for 10 birds, and that brine is unsweetened apple juice. I've got a couple gallons of that.
Oh.
Okay, because that's a nature flavor.
Great time to get apples in West Michigan,
exactly,
by the way.
Exactly. So 2 gallons, I wouldn't use cider. I would just use unsweetened apple juice. And then 2 cups of table salt. You can use kosher. If you do, add a 3rd cup for that. And then a cup of brown sugar and a couple tablespoons of black pepper, just because I like that little bit of bite in there.
I don't think cider would hurt anything, would it?
It wouldn't hurt it, no, but it's just... it's
not how you did it.
Right, and it's a little bit fermented, so you can't leave it in the brine as long with the cider versus the apple juice.
So you can make some turkey jack?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Some pheasant jack?
So we do all of that, mix that together, warm it up a little bit just to dissolve the sugars and the salt, and then cool it back down. Okay, and then I'm going to put the birds in it, and I've got a brining bucket, is what it's a 5-gallon bucket that has a little lid that you push down. You give it a quarter turn, and it holds things under the water.
Oh,
and you can get them anywhere, Cabela's, wherever online, uh-huh. whatever. But the brining bucket, because what you want to do is you want to keep stuff under the solution, and you want it cold. So what I do is put the birds down in there, turn that thing, and then set a bag of ice right on top of it, because you don't want it to brine warm at ambient temperature. You want to keep this thing around below 40 degrees so you don't get bacteria, right? And I'm going to leave it in there about 12 hours. So I might come home at night, put the brine on, know that I'm going to smoke the next day, right? You really can't hurt them. If you left them in there 16, 18 hours, but just 12 hours is a rule of thumb for me so that they don't get, you know, soft. I'm trying to get flavor.
So you could do this
texture.
If somebody gave you some dove or some quail or some grouse or anything, you could do the same thing with any of those wild birds.
Yep.
How about duck?
Well, we're going to talk about duck in the next segment because it's different to me because they do fly most of their lives. They don't walk. And that breast is tougher because that's the big muscle that drives everything. So we'll talk about that. But let me finish this pheasant recipe. So in about the 11th hour, I'm going to fire up my smoker, okay, and get it going. And I only want it to like 250. I don't want it hot. There's not a lot of fat on this. I don't want to cook it fast. I want to cook it slow because the slower you can cook wild game, the more tender it's going to be because I only want to bring it to about 125 degrees because
internal
because it's game. It won't hurt you if it's a little bit rare. And if you take it to 150, 155, it's going to be like chewing on your shoe because there's no internal fat at all in this pheasant. So, but before I put it on the smoker, get it lit up, get the smoker up. And here's the other thing that I'm going to do with these pheasants is I'm going to wrap them in thin cut bacon, just the
breast.
I'm
wondering if you would do a bacon weave for those.
You know, you could, it just takes longer to cook,
right?
Because you got double layers of bacon when you weave it. And what I found is because I don't want to overcook the bird on the inside, I use thin cut and only use one layer.
So you pin it with toothpicks then?
Well, no, actually, because I've got the breast with the bone side down, right? And I just wrap the bacon underneath that, and I set it on a smoker, and I don't roll it. So as it cooks, it'll cook down.
So it sort of melts. It sort of shrink wraps itself.
Yes, exactly. It'll cook down. It'll tighten up.
Well, the funny thing is we did this recipe 7 or 8 years ago. I went to Wisconsin to sign up a hot tub dealer, and his partner brought in those pheasants with the biggest you-know-what eating grin on his face.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He goes, I got this from your show.
Oh.
And he was over in Wausau, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I said, you got it from my show? He goes, yeah, I download it every week. Or it comes to my phone.
Right.
And I love pheasant, and you got to taste this. And he had three of them there.
Yeah.
We're in the office. I just struck the deal with them. They're going to be a dealer where it's all a love fest.
Yeah.
And he pulls out these three pheasant and he begins to slicing.
Right.
And I'm like looking at him like, okay, we affected this guy across the pond.
Right.
That far away with a great tip. He was so happy because he loved the method. And I'm telling you, I've never been a big fan of pheasant until that.
Right.
And that was fantastic.
Well, the difference is two things, I think. It's not overdone, and everybody likes the flavor of bacon, so I'll go to number three. It locks in moisture.
Yep.
When you put that bacon over the top, bacon's going to render. You're going to get grease. But everybody likes the flavor of bacon that I know, and some of it penetrates the meat while it's cooking. So,
and if they don't, just put it on your plate. There's a dog waiting around there somewhere
for
it.
Exactly. So, and the other thing is you can serve it hot, but you can also serve it cold.
That's how I had it.
Guy had it. So what you're going to do is you're going to slice it just like you would a turkey breast. You start on the outside lengthways, and you just start slicing it really thin. And the bacon may fall off. That's okay, because you've got the flavor of the bacon that you wanted in there already.
Right.
But grab a little piece of the bacon and eat it with it.
I would love to try it hot.
Yeah.
Because the one you gave me was cold, and the one this fellow in Wisconsin gave me was cold, and it was so good. But I got to imagine hot.
Well, you get
that pheasant
breast. Right.
It's got to be great.
Right. Exactly.
And you're going to probably put some sort of a seasoning rub on that bird before you wrap it in bacon.
Yeah. Any barbecue flavor that's good for you. And by the way, all of this, I know you're feverishly writing this down, listening out there, but all of this is on the grillingguys.com website. Look up brined pheasant. You'll find it. Everything you need to do. We the whole process, the recipe, everything. I'm sure I missed a couple things in there, but at the end of the day, if I go to the farm, especially, I'm paying $25 a bird to have them put out. I want to taste one or two, and bring them home. But anyway, You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Coming up next, we might go from the pheasant to the goose. Talk to you in a minute.